Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us. Thank you for the congratulations on grandson, Asher. And I was thinking yesterday how perfect it would be for Asher to be our baby Jesus at our candlelight service. And that's as far as it got. just leave it alone. Anyway, we're delighted to have you with us. If you're visiting, you're most welcome. And I want to say a word to our students. Thank you so much for being with us Sunday after Sunday. And I know you won't be here next Sunday because of the Christmas break, but we wish you all a very happy Merry Christmas and a safe time away. And we look forward to you when you can be back again. So if this is our first time with us since we started our march to the birth of Jesus, typically called Advent, we've noticed a number of things, and so we have three candles lit, making our way to Christmas Eve and then Christmas morning. So we looked at the prophets and how specific they were in saying things about the birth of the Messiah. And then last Sunday was kind of a different sermon. It's not really Christmassy, but it was the battle of the cosmic scenes behind the visible eyes of Satan doing everything he could to make sure that baby Jesus would not be born. But of course, Jesus was born. And we looked at how involved the angels were with all of that. But today is a little more peaceful and gentle, and in my mind, one of my favorite parts of Advent. And that is the shepherds. And Luke does something magical. Both Matthew and Luke tell the story of Jesus, but they tell it somewhat from a different perspective. And Luke is all about the underdog, all about people in society who are often pushed off to the sides, but not in Luke's gospel. In Luke's gospel, the invitation is given that all people are welcome to the table of God, to enjoy fellowship with one another. And then there are example after example after example of Luke proving it, and today we'll notice it as well. I want us also just to begin thinking about this phrase. So in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and it is fairly lengthy, but I'll stop in just a moment. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch." And that stayed with me all week long. They were keeping watch. So we noticed the prophets, and they prophesied sometimes a couple of thousand years, sometimes 800 years, sometimes several hundred years before the birth of Christ. And they prophesied about him coming into the world, and they wondered, will I be alive to see it? Can you imagine when you look at Isaiah and how specific he was about who the Messiah was going to be, where he would be born, who he would be born to? Just, it was so wonderfully specific. I wonder if Isaiah thought to himself, will I see it? Will I see it? God gave him these prophecies, but he never did say to them, you won't be here, it'll come later. People prophesied messages about the Messiah and then thinking, I'm going to keep watch. I'm going to keep watch. God said it, will I see it? And here are the angels keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for, what does your Bible say? All the people, past, present, and future. The prophets didn't get to see him, but now here he is. Here's what the prophets had been speaking. Here is the arrival. And even in our generation, it can be new and exciting because it's for us. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And this is where we can get selfish and point to ourselves, to us, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, this is, can you just picture this? Being a shepherd out in the fields, watching your sheep, and then all of a sudden this happens. And the shepherds said to one another, "We got to go see this. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They were told, they were keeping watch, they were told, they went and saw, but they didn't go home. They told people what they saw, what had happened. And verse 18 says, "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and just as they were told. And later, Luke is going to say again, several times, that Mary stopped and thought about what was said. She pondered about what was said. She treasured in her heart what was said. And at Christmas time, if we forget to treasure in our heart what Isaiah said about Christ, what the shepherds saw when they saw the Christ, what Mary treasured up in our heart, then we come up short for the glory of Christmas. The glory of God shone around them, and at Christmas and on Christmas Eve, we can experience such a thing, that the Messiah has come. The prophets longed to see what we see today. They prophesied his birth. We look back at everything that happened to Jesus and know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. In some ways, it's Christmas every day. The worship of the Christ every day. And then on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So the shepherds were keeping watch. But following along in the story, and I'll be quick, there's another person who was keeping watch in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man, and he was keeping watch. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was keeping watch for that Messiah to come, the consolation of Israel, sometimes the redemption, the reclamation of Israel, all words meaning the same thing, that the Messiah would come. They were keeping watch based on what the prophets had said, based on what the shepherds had experienced, based on what Mary had been pondering. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous. He was devout, and he was keeping watch. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, wouldn't this be so cool, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in that temple every day and he's keeping watch? And he's keeping watch. He's waiting. And babies are coming into the temple all the time. Could this be baby? Could this be baby? And then all of a sudden God says, "Here he is." Can you just imagine? Can you just put yourself in the shoes of Simeon. If we don't, we miss Christmas. He was waiting, keeping watch. And then, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms. For those of you who are parents, do you remember the first time you took your baby in your arms? And with grandparents, it's the same. Great-grandparents, it's the same. And holding God, he sent himself in the most vulnerable position on earth, a helpless baby. And Simeon had been keeping watch. He not only got to see him, he got to hold him in his arms. He was waiting. He was keeping watch. And then the message is beautiful, but there's also something engaging. Sovereign Lord, verse 29, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Luke concludes this because it wasn't just Israel. It was Jew and Gentile alike, and the glory of your people, Israel. What a beautiful, beautiful story. And the child's father and marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And in the next chapter, Mary says, she treasured up in her heart all those things that were spoken to her. She wanted to know what that was all about. The prophets spoke and they started to keep watch. The shepherds were keeping watch. Simeon was keeping watch. And then there's one more. Here's the story of Anna in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Ah, and this is a beautiful story. There was also a prophetess, Anna. There are several women prophets in the Bible. The four daughters of Philip, Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, just to name a few. There was Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of... I said to Carly the other day, I said, your baby's name is very, very biblical. And she said, that's a bonus. I said, did you name him that name? Because he was from the tribe, actually, eventually of Jacob, all the way down to Asher from Christ came. She goes, no, I just like the name, but now this is a bonus, so that's good. So there was this prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then had been a widow for 84 years. And it says she never left the temple, never left, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. For all those who are waiting for, as Simeon was, the consolation of Israel, the reclamation of Israel, this beautiful redemption of Israel, the saving of Israel, all through the Messiah. And there was this beautiful woman who lived there day in and day out, and she was keeping watch. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, but I would imagine that Simeon and Anna got to know each other pretty well. And they got to speaking to one another probably fairly often. And I don't know if it's true. I guess we can ask when we get to heaven. But I wonder if their conversations may be something like this. Are you keeping watch? I'm still keeping watch. Yeah, I'm still keeping watch. Are you still keeping watch? Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting. And then that one day, Simeon says, here he is. And can you just picture Simeon holding baby Jesus in his arms? And maybe Anna is across the floor and she's looking. Is this the one? You see, this is why we light the light. Jesus is known as the light of the world. And we're reminding ourselves, the prophets were keeping watch. The angels were keeping watch, being directed by God. And here, so many people were keeping watch. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't conclude this way. Are we keeping watch? There's going to be a time in the future that has not yet come, but because Jesus came, he promised this, that we should be waiting for this. The renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the liberation and redemption of all things that Jesus has placed in front of us because he lived for us, he died for us, he raised again, saying that one day there will be a new beginning. Are we keeping watch? Let me conclude by reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, my dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And then verse 10, but the day of the Lord. Jesus was born, and we sometimes call that the day of the Lord. But there's a future day of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now notice this, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It doesn't disappear, it's laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are keeping watch. We are looking forward. We are keeping watch to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where God will restore all things. May you and I at Christmas this year welcome Jesus in every way manageable. And if you're willing to promise him one more time, I will keep watch. I will keep watch. The anticipation of the birth of Christ, the anticipation of a new heaven, a new earth, where all will be restored in Christ. We will keep watch. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.